This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks so much for being here. Through the pleasure and the pain, the agony and the ecstasy of what was the 2024 San Diego Padres season. And it has come to a very unfortunate and sudden end. And we will be here for you today. We will be here for you every day. We're not going anywhere. We're not hiding from the fact that that sucked in so many ways to watch our boys go down like that. We'll be here. All right. We'll take your calls today. We'll take your tweets. We'll take your messages in the YouTube chat. Many Dodger fans already in the chat. Talk your smack. Talk it. I would. Bring it. We're not hiding from any of that. I spent my whole night Friday going, nice job. Well done. You dominated us. You know, I'll talk it when we win, and I'll be there to answer you when we lose. I'm not hiding from anything, man. It was a great series. It sucked. Did not come out in our favor. But we move on, and we try to pick up the pieces today and also have a little fun in the process, certainly. Want to, you know, let me introduce the show. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. I got Ben Higgins here, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Benjamin, how are you, buddy?
Good morning. That was very well said.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. That was a tough, long day on Friday. You know, I was up there, left after the show, drove up, spent all day there, didn't get home until about 1:30 in the morning. And it was brutal to have to go down into that clubhouse after the game and just see the players and the shock and just, I mean, sadness. Not in terms of like tears. It was just like a stunned,
like a blank
stare. Everyone sitting in their chair in front of their locker, like a lot of them just kind of had their phones, but they weren't really like doing anything with them. They were just kind of holding them and looking down at them, like with like blank nothingness on their face. It was as stunning, I think, for the team as it was for us as a fan base as well, because everything up until, you know, game four had been going so well for the San Diego Padres. It's almost unfathomable that you can be at that point, up 2-1, everything feels like it's locked into place. Like you are set moving forward. And then it's just two games and it's just over.
It's over.
It's just cruel almost.
Yeah, it was.
Cruel.
Cruel is a good way to put it, man.
That's why you play the game.
That's why you play the games, man. There's nothing guaranteed for you. And listen, we're going to, I think, you know, we'll talk about our weekends and what we did and how I reacted, how everybody reacted after. There was certainly, on Saturday a sense of despair. I'll be honest, a sense of despair and kind of nausea kind of lingered throughout the day. Man, Friday night, I could barely sleep. You know, I could barely sleep. After that game was over, I turned it off. Did not want to watch the celebration, certainly. Not that I don't love you and appreciate all your hard work, Benjamin, but I wasn't quite ready to get the postmortem yet on the San Diego Padres in 2024. I just wasn't. But I spent the day Saturday with my family, and that always makes you feel better, and had some fun with the kids, and then got to coach yesterday, which was always a blast, and, you know, trying to kind of get back to normal. And there's bright sides. There's a few bright sides out of this whole thing, certainly. We could talk about some of the bright sides, too, but holy smokes, man. It definitely stung. I slept a lot this weekend. I actually got caught up on some sleep. Took a couple of naps, which was quite lovely, and recharged the batteries a little bit. The bright side is there's no round table this week. That's one bright side, all right? I said it to my wife as I was walking out the door. I go, and I guess one of the bright sides is I don't have to do a round table on Thursday, you know, talking about this thing, because we're going to spend probably 4 hours talking about it today. There's some downsides to it, too, man. You watch last night's game, and the Dodgers continue to roll right now. They started rolling, two games ago, 3 games ago, and they're rolling right now. They look pretty sharp.
Well, we do know things can turn on a dime, though, since we saw it here as well. I was watching the game yesterday as well. I worked on Saturday, but I was off yesterday. First day off probably in 3 or 4 weeks, and was actually sitting with Shelley. We went and got a glass of wine, and I looked up at the TV as the Dodgers-Mets game came on, and I go, I should be at Petco Park right now for game one.
No doubt.
I mean, this is what I expected. I expected there to be a game at 1 o'clock today, game two, and then probably getting on a plane for New York either tonight, red eye, or tomorrow morning, whatever, and doing the show from New York tomorrow. It's still really difficult to wrap my mind around the fact that the season is over.
Yeah, it is. It really is. We've got a Dodger fan, David Conrado, in our chat. I bring up David specifically. He says, someone talked to Ferdy Raps, which we gave no attention to, by the way. Ferdy Raps did do another rap. It was horrible. We didn't pay any attention to it. He said, and Ryan Cohen, for talking smack before and during the series, for cursing you guys. Now, David is an interesting guy to say that, because David is the one who made a meme of our dearly, dearly beloved late owner, Peter Seidler, and portrayed him as Beetlejuice. And so I
classy.
Dodger fans it's hard for me to believe in karma when people like David and Dodger fans exist in general, throwing stuff on the field, throwing stuff into a bullpen, making fun of our owner that passed away from a very, very traumatic cancer. It's hard for me to say Ryan Cohen being excited and dancing jinxed our team. They're not jinxes. Things like that aren't real, because the reason I know they're not real, you exist and you won. So jinxes do not exist when it comes to things like that. David.
Ryan Cohen had a very disappointing NLDS series, though, at the plate. I mean, he was hitless.
Right. No knocks at all. I mean, so again, like, it's hard for me to believe in karma and things like that and jinxes and bad luck when you talk about a human being like Peter Seidler in the way that you did. You know, so that it's hard for me to wrap my head around, David, so I apologize.
Well, it's, and we talked about this during the season, and you can only put as much faith in karma, because you know also at the end it's probably going to end in disappointment. It does for every team except one. A.J. Hinch talked about it eloquently, I thought, after the Tigers got eliminated. This pit we feel in our stomach is the same one that every other team will feel at some point, other than one team at the end of the year. You're going to have that disappointment at the end. And, you know, I think the memory of Peter Seidler was inspiring to players, and I think it helped bring them together.
No doubt.
With a great season. But you can't assign magic qualities to it. You know, it was a real thing that helped the players go as far as they did. But you can't say that, you know, Peter Seidler let us down at this point because they didn't win.
No.
That's not how it works in sports.
No, man. They didn't win because they didn't hit. That's it. I mean,
the only reason at all.
It's the only reason they didn't win is because they forgot how to hit at some point. And we'll talk about, you know, the ins and outs of that. And, you know, if you're coming here for an answer on why are some of our best hitters stopped hitting, I don't have one for you. I don't get it. I've been thinking about it nonstop the entire weekend. And I think everybody else has too.
They faced really good pitching. I mean, that's part of it.
They didn't. Well, they did, but they faced a guy in the last game that they had traditionally dominated.
But he was throwing harder, and his command was much better than any of those other games.
He was down the middle, though. I mean, he was throwing a tick harder, but nothing that our guys hadn't handled.
96,
like, it's hard for sure. That's hard for guys like us. He was around the plate the entire time, and we didn't get to him in the first. And when you give him a little bit of that momentum, I mean, it was shocking. It was shocking. He didn't throw his bad splitter that, you know, nobody swung at. He just got ahead of every single hitter. It was just boom, boom, fastballs on you, and then you're in a terrible count.
And how they beat him the previous game was all those, you know, Dirk getting ahead in counts.
Yeah.
And they weren't ahead in counts this time. It was a different pitcher they were facing than the one they had faced previously. Not that they couldn't have gotten to him. They certainly have the ability and the players that they could have gotten to him. They just didn't make the adjustments in time. And the one time they had a couple of runners on, he made a really good pitch to Tatis, I thought. Slider.
Oh.
Got him. He hit it hard, but because it was, I think he was looking fastball, got the slider. He
came around it.
Hit it, what, like 100 right at third?
Right at Muncy.
Turned into the double play. I thought that was the game right there almost, that in that double play.
Oh, it was the only thing that you had really to get excited about from an offensive standpoint was the two hits. I mean, it was Higgy, and then it was Arise. gets a hit, and you're like, here we go. Now we're cooking. And they just couldn't get it done, man. It sucked. It just to watch and cover this team the entire year, to watch what they were able to do offensively, and then to have that just vanish like a fart in the wind makes no sense. And it's what's going to drive. I mean, it's not only us. Think about them. Think about what they're thinking going, all that work we put in, all the work, all the innings we strung together, all the times we grinded it out. That's how we went out scoreless for the last 24 innings?
It's almost easier to accept. Had they been a feast and famine team during the season?
Yes, you're like, oh, we didn't eat tonight.
Yeah, no, it just happened to be one of those days. But they weren't. They led the Major League Baseball in batting average.
Yeah.
They were one of the most consistent offensive teams. The team that that doesn't happen to this team. It didn't for 168 games or whatever it was. That didn't happen to this team.
They hadn't been shut out in back-to-back games.
Since May,
and then 2.5 games without a run.
It's just
something
nuts.
That you never would have called. Well, I know the Padres are up 2-1 and look like they're rolling, but I really do see them going scoreless the next two games. No one would have ever made that prediction. Even a Dodgers fan would have gone, pretty sure we're going to shut them out the next 2 days, though. No,
That's
you would
crazy.
Have said, Otani is going to, come through again and have, two home runs, and they're going to outslug the Padres and find a way to win. That, like, the most optimistic of Dodgers fans would not have called those last two games going the way they did. It just wouldn't have made any sense for anybody.
Yeah, man. It is very, very tough to stomach, to watch your team just kind of flail at the end. It just doesn't make any sense. It just really, really doesn't. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people going back to the San Diego sports curse. Maybe it is. I have no idea. But I just know that it doesn't make sense. These guys are too good of hitters to go out like that, certainly. So we'll talk about all of that today, certainly. But other than that, how was everyone's weekend? Paulie, you had actually a nice weekend.
My weekend was great. I'm
actually jealous of your nice weekend.
I don't know why, because I wouldn't have been at the game on Friday night. I would not have been at a bar or a watch party, or I would have been watching it home. But being outside of the San Diego County limits on Friday night made it a little bit easier. I was in Palm Springs from Thursday until yesterday for a wedding.
Yep.
Buddy of mine since kindergarten was getting married to a girl that he knew since kindergarten.
That's sweet.
Really cool. They didn't connect until just a few years ago.
They weren't dating in kindergarten.
No.
Right.
They weren't dating in middle school or high school or anything. In college, nothing like that. They reconnected, and it was really sweet, and it was fun to see so many people that I grew up with. And we had a great weekend. Went to Joshua Tree. Went golfing on Friday morning, Joshua Tree in the afternoon, and then came home and watched the game Friday night. And Joshua Tree was amazing.
So great.
You
first
told
time.
Me all about
yeah,
it.
So
yeah.
good.
First time out there, paid the $30, drove through the national park for a couple of hours, and
even found that same guy at the bar.
Yeah, it's town. Insane. He's always there.
He's there.
That guy.
I don't know what time of day or what day of the week it was when you were there, but we were 4:00 on a Friday, and my man was sitting right there at the bar top at the Joshua Tree Saloon.
He's a figurehead there. It's like he's part of the furniture. I couldn't believe it. Paulie said, I'm going to Joshua Tree. I go, pop by the saloon. See if my guy's sitting in there drinking an ice cold Coors Light as he always is. Paulie goes, if he's there, we win. When Paulie texted me, and he goes, oh my God, he's here. And I go, I felt immediate ease.
Turns out
he's a big curse.
You know those old airport bars they had that were Cheers themed, and they had a animatronic Norm?
Yeah, of course.
This was like, that's their version. He's just always there.
It was tough.
It was good though. It was fun, man. I had five friends, like close friends, the six of us growing up, and I've done bachelor parties and we've had weddings up in Washington where they all live. But for all of us now with our wives and some of us have kids, and to be in a hotel and just all in one place that we all had to travel to was really fun.
It's good times.
It was very fitting though. On Saturday morning, got out of the hotel room, and we went to go get some smoothies down the street. And when we returned, it was about 100 degrees at that point in the morning. There was a dead roach.
That's unreal.
Right on the pathway back to our hotel, to the door to get in. And I stopped, and I go, that's a roach.
That son of a bitch carried
us. And Megan's like 10 feet in front of me. I go, babe,
Dead Roach.
The Rally Roach has died.
That guy carried us for so many. Yeah, it was such a great record.
I feel like it was Jodes on Twitter who had the found a dead praying mantis in a spider web when she got home as well. Just all the rally mascots.
He was laying
died.
On his back. He was done for.
He was done for.
It was Saturday morning.
Probably because it's 160 degrees.
Maybe
he's like, I can't do this anymore, man.
But if that wasn't a sign, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Well, the season has come to an end. Yeah, and I think I'll tell you, as much as I'm going to have to force myself to do it, and believe me when I say force myself to do it, the look ahead at what's ahead in 2025, I'm not quite there yet. I also know who I work with over here,
and he was doing that 2 months ago.
And I know, and so now I'm sitting here going, I'm bracing myself for the, so do we bring back Higgy and Profar? If so, how much does it cost? I'm not there yet. I'm telling you right now, I'm not there.
I won't force
there.
It on you yet.
Okay, don't force it.
The discussion will happen, and we will look ahead at some point, but we still have more to break down from what already just happened, and we are here for you. We will be here for you every single morning, as Wood said. Try to have some fun with it. Obviously, it was tough. We will set the menu. When we come back, I see some conspiracy theorists already in the chat. I was there. I have some thoughts on that for you.
Oh, can you? There was a comment made by a huge, huge a-hole. Dan Clark. You know Dan Clark?
Yes.
Yes. And you were in the locker room after. I'd like you to either confirm or deny this tweet that was sent out over the weekend.
All right. We will come back and set the menu as we get rolling on a Monday morning. Padres fans, we all feel it today on San Diego's number one sports station. Check Kelly's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So I never saw this comment by Dan Clark that you were referring to, and you just told me what he said. I am stunned, actually.
But that he would say it?
Yes.
Oh, don't be. Don't be. That's this guy's whole shtick.
You can't just make things up,
sure
can you?
I guess you can. Yeah, it's year 2024. Dan Clark.
So, yeah, I'm looking at this tweet right now. Apparently, things got pretty heated in the Padres clubhouse after last night's dismal offensive display. A lot of finger-pointing and blame-placing. Sounds absolutely toxic. I was, as you said, I was in the clubhouse. That could not be more wrong. There was not a single, moment of anyone getting heated at all, first of all. I mean, I was in there for, 20, 25 minutes, and the only emotion I really sensed, other than disappointment and sadness, was a true heartfelt appreciation and love for each other from those teammates and what they experienced together. And, the sadness of going to be missing this and what a great unit and, team this was all season long. There was nothing toxic even remotely in that clubhouse after the game.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it either. Just knowing this team, the way that we did this season, watching how it all unfolded, and I do think it's important to say, and this is how I genuinely feel. I mean, I loved covering this team this year, but if you don't win the last one, it doesn't really matter. I do believe that old adage from Moneyball. I don't look at this season as a success. I certainly look at it as a season I had fun covering, a blast. I had a blast. This team was a blast to cover. But the way that you went out is tough to swallow. It's tough for me to stomach. Doesn't make any sense. And I don't have any answers. I'm not a hitting coach. I know what I saw. Take that for what it's worth. But it was weird to me to see guys that traditionally didn't expand in those last two games. And it was weird for me to see an offense. I will never say that this team quit. I don't believe in let's play the tape forward on quitting, right? Why in the world would you grind your ass off for 162 regular season games, get to the biggest games of the year and go, I'm done.
It is so laughable.
It's so laughable. The word choke gets thrown around. It felt like a choke.
We'll talk about choking or not choking.
Yeah, but the quitting thing, I think we've got to put the quitting thing aside.
It almost angers me when I see those, and I do respond sometimes, because that insinuation angers me.
Yeah.
It's usually the absolute opposite that's sometimes true. In a big situation when you want to win so badly, sometimes you try too hard. And then that, you know, turns into pressing, and you're trying to make things happen. And we saw it in the 2023 Padres, I think, a lot down the stretch, you know, the pressing.
Yeah, oh
and,
my
you
Lord.
You know, after going a few innings, obviously, in game three without scoring after the second, and then you start and you don't score early in game four, you can understand why all of a sudden, kind of, all right, we need to make something happen here. What happened to our offense? And then, instead of just doing what you've done all season long, you do expand a little bit because you're going, we need
we gotta
runners.
Get something going.
We got to get something going, and you start pressing. And that's not because you're not trying hard enough. It's not because you don't care enough. It's because you care too much, and you're trying a little bit hard. That's what pressing is. And if there was anything that the Padres did differently over those last two games and the whole rest of the season, that might be a much more accurate explanation.
Mega Doomer says, why were our guys swinging for the fences? I mean, I saw a lot of the hero ball stuff too. You know, Manny just missed two. He just missed them. I mean, it just, good swings on both, just missed it. They didn't go out. And I don't think it was rigged. I don't think it was anything like that. I don't think the balls were juiced for the Dodgers. I don't believe in any of that stuff, man. I just don't. I just know how things can snowball. And you saw it. It was a snowball. And one guy didn't get it done. The next guy tried harder to pick up his brother. He didn't get it done. Guy after him tries then to pick up his last two brothers. He didn't get it done. There's a lot of blame to go around. There's a lot. I mean, look, man, we can do it in the next segment. But let's talk about how they absolutely crumbled in the two biggest games of the year.
All right, we'll get to our Padres wrap up and. You know, take a much closer look at what exactly happened on Friday and the 2-0 loss in our next segment. And then after that, we will try to analyze just the entire end of the season. We'll talk about choking versus not choking. Sammy will join us. We will get one more Monday with Sam Levitt. Unfortunately, off-season Sammy now.
It hurts to put off-season Sammy.
Yeah,
on
dude.
The
it does.
But we've appreciated his coverage and his contributions to our show all season long. So he'll check in with us at 7:35. We will play Take on Woods. We got Don't Do This. We can revisit Dave Roberts' Manny Machado comments and Ken Rosenthal's column in light of what Dave has said after the series, something that we probably all should have known from the very beginning, the disingenuousness of the Dodgers manager looking for anything to try to motivate his team or distract his team. And
I'll tell you where the whole series turned, too. The entire series turned on one swing.
All right. Woodsy's got a good tease for us there. That's all coming up when we come back with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
What happened? What happened, fellas?
Well, obviously, Major League Baseball, when the Padres were batting, replaced dead balls with the ones they were feeding the Dodgers because they wanted the best TV matchup for the World Series to make tons of money. I mean, that's the
conspiracy.
That's the conspiracy theory that's going around. Two things can be true. Does Major League Baseball somewhere in the league office probably want Dodgers, Yankees, and the World Series?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, let's watch the Guardians-Yankees series very closely. If Jose Ramirez is hitting 114 off the bat and it's not going out of the yard, then let's talk about it. But I it's hard for me to get behind that narrative. Guys, we hit a lot of singles. We didn't hit any singles. That's the thing. Like, we weren't even hitting singles, much less balls flying out of the yard.
You know who they wanted in the World Series last year out of the last four? Phillies against Rangers would have been good for them, but they didn't get the Phillies there. They got the Diamondbacks.
No, last year you got the Diamondbacks Rangers, which nobody wanted, except the Rangers, and I don't even know if the Diamondbacks fans cared, but you know, the Rangers fans were pretty hyped. And won their first World Series, but I don't really get behind many of the conspiracy theories that go on. I don't think the balls were dead. I think we chased.
I was there. We'll go through the highlights in a second. And by the way, when the two Hernandez balls, the only two balls the Dodgers really smoked all game, were hit off the bat, and I'm sitting way out in left field, I knew they were gone. I mean, I knew. They pulled them.
Oh,
they were crushed. When Manny hit his the other way, I thought, this has a real good chance, but I didn't have that surety because
Oppo.
He went oppo. Ball wasn't carrying as well that way. It just, you know, and it was, you know, Manny's two balls were home runs. I think one of them in 12 parks, another one in 5 parks, other places, other days, warmer days. maybe those are home runs, but not in October, not the other way at Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers' two balls were hitting much better spots than the Padres' two. You know, that was the difference in the game, honestly. And I don't think it had anything to do with the baseballs or a conspiracy theory. Just, you know, you hit the ball further when you pull it, usually.
Yeah.
And that's what the Dodgers did.
Boy, they you know, Kike crushed his and Teoscar crushed his. And yep. I want, before we play the recap, just from the bottom of my heart, thank you to you, Darvish. From the bottom of my heart. God only knows what that man went through this season. And for him to be able to come back and pitch the way he did, I love him. I'll always love him. He's a fantastic Padre, and he pitched his heart out. And the fact that we could not get, you know, anything to support him was, it made the whole thing even worse to stomach. You could understand him going out and laying an egg at Dodger Stadium. You really could, because of how good they are and his history there at Dodger Stadium. You could understand it. But the fact that he went and pitched so brilliantly and gave up, you know, had two mistakes. Both mistakes, by the way. Big mistakes. But to get him nothing made it hurt all the three line would have been brilliant. Him shutting out the Dodgers offense that night, giving up two solo shots. Padres win 3-2, 4-2, whatever. Had they just done what they did all season long.
He hung that one to Kike and I go, all right, you got to score at least one.
Got to score
one. Win.
Yeah.
Now you got to score two.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me. He pitched his
heart out.
Ass
off pitched his heart out,
Friday
man.
Night.
When
I
he
love
touched
you, Darvish.
The Peter Seidler heart right before the game.
You could see that he
wanted to do it. I have no idea exactly how guys are feeling on the inside, and I don't want to say that you cared about Peter more than anyone else, but go all the way back to the, you know, bowing at the memorial to the game on Friday. You, Darvish, clearly had a special relationship with Peter Seidler, cared about the man, and wanted to win for him badly, and did pretty much everything he could. We'll go through it all. Padres wrap up. Last one of the season, unfortunately. Right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame. It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Well, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the pump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles and the deciding Game 5 of the 2024 National League Division Series between the Padres and the L.A. Dodgers. Yu Darvish on the mound for San Diego against Yoshinobu Yamamoto. First time ever two Japanese-born pitchers go head-to-head in a postseason game. Here's Kike Hernandez. He launches to left field. Profar's back to watch. Nothing he's going to be able to do. They call him Mr. October around here, and Kike just put it deep into the left field pavilion at Dodger Stadium. 1-0 L.A. Here's the 2-1. Hernandez hits one in the air to very deep left field. This one is way back and gone, a home run. Boy, almost the exact same spot where Hernandez, Kike, hit one out in the second inning. This time, Hernandez, Teoscar, and it's 2-0 Dodgers in the seventh. First pitch on the way. Fernando swings, grounds it to third. Shorthand pick. Hernandez throw to first in time. And the Dodgers have a date with Grimace and the Mets Sunday here at Dodger Stadium. Back-to-back shutout wins to clinch the division series. Final score here tonight, the Dodgers 2, the Padres nothing, and 24 straight scoreless innings thrown by Dodger pitching to end this series.
It's tough to sum up, but there's a lot of emotion taking place, mixture, obviously a ton of disappointment in the end result, but no, nothing but absolute respect and admiration for our entire club. You know, it's a club that from day one poured everything they had into this. Every single guy. And they did something that was really special. They did it for each other and they did it for San Diego.
Al, first pitch ambush there by Kike Hernandez. Not the guy that you expect is going to be the one who beats you with power, but the guy you hate. Has had a history of doing it in October.
A monster in October.
Just an absolute monster. A guy who wasn't even in the Dodgers starting lineup until Miguel Rojas got hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, not one that Dave Roberts was playing until he had to.
Yeah.
And then when he had to, we put him in and ends up, you know, saving the series essentially for the Dodgers with the second inning home run that put the Padres behind. And again, that third inning, I had the feeling when I was in the stands that this was the moment for the Padres.
Yes.
Get the 2-1 out singles by Higashioka and Arise.
Got him on the ropes.
Felt like, okay, they have left Yamamoto in there too long. What was the talk before the game? No way Yamamoto goes more than one trip through the lineup.
No chance, man.
But he was good enough that it was like, okay, they're leaving him in there. They're letting him face Tatis for a second time. This is the moment where it goes south on the Dodgers.
Remember, man, we did the roundtable before, and Craig was vehemently, you know, like as convicted as I've ever seen him, and he's a pretty convicted guy. Craig was like, there's no way they're going to start Yamamoto. None. I said, too, I'm like, I'd be surprised if they didn't do an opener, you know, do something, and then maybe use Yamamoto. And that dude went out like a starter. You know, a guy they paid $325 million for, he went out like a starter and said, I'm taking the ball, and I'm going to throw strikes, and I'm going to make these guys expand the zone. And he did. And he was good. He was really good. The slider that he was throwing that looked like a heater until the very last second, the one that he got Fernando to roll over on, just nasty. Going up in the zone to Merrill.
Roll over, he hit it hard, just wrong spot.
Yeah, still. I mean, it's a pitch on the outer third,
yeah,
and he ends up pulling it to third base. So he came around it. It's a tough. It looked fast. It looked like a fastball.
I mean, and I'm sure Tatis was looking fastball. It was 3-1. Yeah. You don't want to load the bases. And it was a really good pitch. And
he pitched really well.
I didn't hear any comments from Yamamoto after the game. I was in the Padres clubhouse. Maybe you did. To me, it felt like they told him, go out like you're a reliever.
100%.
You know what? And if you give us one inning and it's good, great. And then it was one inning, it was good. You got another one?
Yep.
Went out and did it again. And like, all right, you got another one? And they just said, don't leave anything. Don't act like you're trying to pitch 7 or 8 innings today. You are simply going out there max velocity like you're a reliever for as long as you can.
Well,
and it worked really well for him.
Ditch your crappy splitter and just throw fastball slider to these guys. Go up in the zone. I have one of the dads on Bo's team is a Dodger fan, and he's a really, really smart one and knows a lot of scouts and things like that. And we were talking about it yesterday, and he goes, a couple things. He said, number one, I've never seen a team pitch up in the zone better than the Dodgers did the last few games. And I went, you're absolutely right. And I said, I've never seen our guys expand for that many games in a row, two, all season. The elite adjusters that we are and were, we did not do. We did not adjust up in the zone, and they just couldn't get to anything. And he also said, there's a couple of moments, he said, listening to the Padres players' comments after the bullpen game, he goes, it's the only time in the whole series that I felt even a little bit confident. A little bit. Listening to Jackson Merrill, who's like, we had no idea what was going on. Listening to all of them going, yeah, those bullpen guys were tough. He goes, I really felt like we had you beat there in the mental game. Obviously, we know what happened with the Dave Roberts thing. Now, the swing that changed it all for me, the whole series was, so the timeline of events, we had the big show on Tuesday. We talked about Dave Roberts' awful comments that led to the Rosenthal hit piece on Machado, right? Well, what did the Padres do? They came out, they put up 6 runs, Michael King on the bump. When Michael King gave up a couple of bleeders and the grand slam to let them back in that game 6-5, you could feel it. You could feel the Dodgers go, oh my God, we have a chance. Now, they did not get it done in that game. The Padres bullpen came in, shut them down.
See, I thought that would be the big air out of their balloon. They took their shot
and lost.
They had a chance and they lost. And usually that is when you can really step on a team.
We didn't really even talk about much on, what was that, Wednesday morning? Like, we were just happy with the win.
Happy with the win.
We weren't really focusing on the fact that the Padres were held scoreless innings 3 through 9.
Correct.
Because the Padres also, their bullpen shut the Dodgers down.
Correct.
After that grand
Correct.
slam.
And
we didn't know that the Padres, that was the last time they were going to score in 2024.
It was nuts. I mean, I was there. It was the best game to go to because of the result. But when he hit that grand slam, it went, oh, yeah, look what we can do. We can go single grand slam on any pitcher, even a pitcher that is pitching lights out in the postseason.
Teoscar Hernandez, future Padres left fielder.
Could have potentially. He's going to be a free agent. He's going to make a lot of money. But I looked at that and I went, okay, yeah, you got to come out and answer. And obviously, you're going to sit and you're going to lament the fact that, I guess you're going to lament the fact that we didn't throw Martin Perez the next day. But again, the offense did nothing. And that, like I said on the roundtable, the offense doing nothing bailed Schilt out and it bailed Dylan Cease out. Okay, it wouldn't have mattered how many runs Dylan Cease Perez, you know, didn't give up because you didn't score. And it really bailed them out of that decision. And I'm still fine with the decision. Dylan Cease has to do a better job. He's got to do a better job. And if we're pointing fingers right now, so does every superstar on this team. They all, except for Fernando, who, by the way, finished like 0 for 12, his last 12 or something, or 0 for 11. They all need to do a better job, period. And it starts with their eyes. You can't be a table setter and not bring any food to the table. You know, I mean, you just can't. You got one hit in the last four games or something. It just can't happen.
The whole team. It's
up and down. It's Manny.
There's
it's,
no point
it's Xander.
In singling out
no,
one or two guys
no,
because every single player on the roster rolled over in games 4 and 5, except for Yu Darvish.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, our beloved Jackson Merrill, seeing Jackson Merrill chase pitches at his eyes was shocking to me. But I understand it. I understand why you do it, because you're trying to do anything to help your team win. Now, remember Curt Schilling years ago with the ketchup sock? And everyone was screaming at the Yankees that day. What were they telling them to do? You got to lay a bunt down at that guy. If his ankle is held together by staples and there's blood coming through, bunt him to death. Get him out of the game. You had Freddie Freeman on one leg playing first. Not one person tried to drag
Jerickson
one.
Tried once, and was just a little bit foul, and that was the only time.
It's crazy.
And I feel
Mr. hates bunting.
I think Jerickson in particular. I was expecting at some point that he was going to come through with a big swing. He was going to yank a home run to right at some point in that series in the postseason after the year that he had. And Jerickson, his offense just never showed up.
Yeah, in the three-hole, you had one RBI, man. That's one RBI from the three-hole spot. Doesn't mean I love you any less. He scored one run. You know, Manny had the one home run. He drove in four, but, you know, really expanded the zone in the last game. After, you know, again, hitting two balls, I thought were on the screws that didn't go out. Man, Tatis had such a great start. Nobody finished well. Nobody. There's not one person that finished well that they can hang their hat on the last two games and say, well, at least I did my job. Crony was not good. Profar was not good. Arise was not good. Xander was not good. Manny was not good. Merrill was not good. You know, and Tatis was not good the last couple of games. And when it all goes south like that, it's going to be tough to win no matter what your pitching does.
I saw the, the doom and despair on social media, especially after the Dodgers were up 2-0. And it's weird. I still had some faith and confidence that the top of the eighth inning was going to be the inning. You know, Vesia was coming back out.
Yeah.
He had gotten just one out. I texted you guys and I said, here's what's going to happen. They're going to bring Vesia back out. Xander's going to open with a single to get on. And then they can't change out the pitcher after that. And it's going to, so they're going to end up getting two on, and then Jake's going to come out. And then Dave's going to have this tough decision. He's got his lefty-lefty matchup, but Jake, who has come through against Vesia in the playoffs, they're going to leave him in. Jake's going to come through big time. But then Vesia ends up getting hurt in warmups. Take him out. I was like, this is weird at the time. Now,
yeah, I thought maybe a little fishy.
The fact that Vesia is out for the NLCS, I guess he really did hurt himself. And Xander did. I mean, that one I thought was for sure a single when he connected it, hit a line drive. But unfortunately, right at second base, what it looks right there. And that was really the last hard hit ball for the Padres. Last chance to get a lead runner on, get some rally going there in the eighth inning. It just never happened for the Padres on Friday night. Even in the 8-0 loss, they had what, seven hits or something in that game?
Yep, 7 hits.
They had 9 chances with runners in scoring position. They didn't come through. They had one chance. 0-for-1 with a double play grounder with runners in scoring position. They didn't do anything.
Well, and again, and if you had told the Padres fan base, you're going to hold Shohei to almost nothing. Almost nothing. One home run, a 200 average, and like 7 or 8 Ks, you think to yourself, we're winning this series, yeah. No problem.
Padres, you sign up for that instantly. You sign up for 2 solo home runs from Yu Darvish in 6 2/3 innings instantly. It's like, are we sure we'll take that 2 runs? Yes, absolutely. 100%. I would have no qualms about either of those, you know, stat lines. I would have taken those at the start of the series, at the start of that game, because I thought the Padres offense would put up at least 5 or 6 runs pretty much every single game, which they did until the last two. And then it's over.
Just like that.
All right, so the CH word. Is that a choke by the San Diego Padres? Talk about that coming up. Play a little take on Woods as well. We got a new prize this week for you. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. Hour number two. Ben, Woods, and Pauly on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.